My name is Julie Turney, and this is the HR Sound Off podcast show, the show created for HR and business professionals to discuss pertinent topics and trends as it relates to our professions. We're going to have amazing conversations with HR professionals from all over the world, get to learn their origin stories, how did they get into this profession, what do they love about being here, and how they want to set the record straight on that one misconception that really drives them crazy about our profession. Are you ready? I'm ready. Then let's sound off. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the HR Sound Off podcast show. My name is Julie Turney, and I am your host. How are you doing today? Wherever you are picking up this podcast in the world, I hope you're having an awesome day. This is going to be a great conversation, so just fold your laundry, drink your soup, have some fun. We're going to have some fun here. Remember, the HR Sound Off podcast show is created by an HR professional for HR professionals, magnifying HR voices. And today I get to magnify the voice of Cassidy Edwards. Cassidy, how are you doing today?
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, whenever you are listening to this podcast. Cassidy Edwards, I am doing great today. How are you? Yes.
I am doing good myself. I can't complain. The sun is shining. I got to get my morning swim in, so I'm doing great.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. It's always good when I get a morning swim, or at least get some early movement in the morning. Then I feel a lot better. It makes my day flow a lot easier when I get my movement out of the way in the morning.
Absolutely. Yeah, that morning walk can do wonders.
For sure. So let's tell our beautiful audience that is listening to this episode today, who is Cassidy Edwards? What is your HR origin story? How did you get here? What are you up to now?
Yes. So I'm so excited to talk to you all today. What I do currently, so I'm the director of people operations at a company, a startup in tech called TradeBlock. It's actually in sneaker tech. So I've been in HR for almost 15 years, like from the beginning. So started from the bottom. Now we're here. Type of vibes. And it's a Black owned startup in sneaker tech. And I've been a shoe collector or a sneaker collector, affectionately known as a sneakerhead sometimes. Sneaker culture for over two decades now. So it's definitely a full circle moment to be able to build from the ground up and really optimize, you know, people systems in TradeBlock. I'm also a managing editor for a publication, a digital publication called CNK Daily. So we serve as a voice for women in sneaker culture, really to inspire, to empower, to educate women of all walks of life in sneaker culture. I'm a writer at heart, so I really love to write. And I've created some pretty cool content on marketing campaigns with some of your favorite brands, probably Nike, Jordan, Adidas, Foot Locker, JD Sports, all of those. Recently, I have founded a newsletter, an HR newsletter, very unfiltered HR newsletter called Yo, You're On Mute. And it's something that we say, you know, 45 times a day. But it's also a play on words for underrepresented groups, specifically like Black and brown people of color like myself, that want to, you know, come off mute, essentially. So it helps them there. But that is what I do currently.
Right.
My origin story is really probably similar to a lot of people's. I just fell into HR and started as, you know, kind of admin assistant, receptionist way back in the day, and then just kind of evolved into, okay, now you're interviewing people. Now you're, you know, so learning in the non-traditional sense, it wasn't like education, going to college, did do that, but did not finish. So I had a child very, very early and really dove into the workforce as like, this is my priority. I'm kind of that hustle, that hunger, and ended up loving HR. So like my mother, she works in benefits. So she has worked in benefits all her life. So I kind of saw a little bit of that. But it's definitely rooted in some of my core values. And this is why I say.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing all of that. Where do I begin to unpack? So I want to start with, I'm a sneakerhead myself. I love sneakers. And I'm talking back in the day, LA Gear,
Yes.
Adidas, Fila.
We have British Knights. We
yes.
have all mm-hmm. the old school. I all love the old school.
Yeah, absolutely. These days, I'm more of a Converse girl.
Yes.
And I have my Converse in every color possible. And I've just started I finished my low cut collection, and I'm now starting my high top collection. So I've been enjoying collecting those, but I also love New Balance. There's something yes. about New Balance that's super chic for me as a woman.
Yes. New Balance. Yeah. And so your style, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason I love sneakers, because some people are like, why sneakers? Like, why are they yeah. even a thing? And so for me, they've been a catalyst. They've been a conduit. They have mm-hmm. been a universal language of creative expression.
Yeah.
And so your style is an extension of your mm-hmm. creative expression. And mm-hmm. so New Balance is part of my language. They are doing the damn thing right now. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. and you can see that in their revenue earnings.
Yes.
You know, the increase, but mm-hmm. I believe that they've really gone from controversy yeah. to for the culture.
Yes.
Because they've put a focus on storytelling that is authentic mm-hmm. to the sneaker space, and the sneaker yeah. industry was built on Black culture, just yeah. on it, you know? Yeah. And so that's how I grew up, and it mm-hmm. wasn't really a trend. It was a lifestyle, you know, mm-hmm. at the time.
Yeah.
And so New Balance is put in the work. They've gotten yes. the right collaborations mm-hmm. With their most recent kind of like very, very coveted popular drops.
Yeah.
And those collaborations have leaned into real storytelling, and that's what people connect to.
Yeah, definitely. I yeah. think there's something about the way sneaker companies tell stories. It's more about the experience you're going to have in the shoe, more so than selling the shoe, right?
Yes.
It's why people buy Air Jordans, because everyone wanted to be like Mike, right?
Yes. Exactly.
But now, knowing that the possibilities are endless and seeing all these different stars create their own form of Jordan, but still off of Jordan, I think that that's just such a cool experience and a cool culture. I can't tell you, though, funny enough, as much as I love the story and how they advertise, I do not own a pair of Nikes or a pair of Jordans. I've tried them on. I never find them comfortable.
Mm.
I think I tried once and I never found it comfortable. It does something, just the way your feet sit at the top of it is not comfortable for me. So I don't own Nikes.
Yes. We're going to have to get you a pair, a comfortable pair.
Find me a comfortable pair of Jordans. I haven't seen one yet that I really like, but I'm still on the hunt. And then the last one I would say is Skechers. I feel yes. Skechers, the way they've come up.
Yes, me, Skechers is just an everyday kind of go-to for a lot yeah. of people, right?
So when I walk in.
Yes, like very comfortable. And even though in sneaker culture, it's like considered like that's not the shoe that everybody focus on.
Yeah.
But, you know, every person is not a sneakerhead. So no. you kind of have those specific audiences or personas that need those mm-hmm. everyday comfortable walking shoes.
Yes.
And even Skechers is trying to kind of get into the mix, because yes. they recently did a collaboration with Snoop Dogg.
Yes, I did.
That you would normally like with Skechers.
Yeah, I was listening to Snoop Dogg's interview on that same thing, and he was saying, because everyone was like, "Well, why did you choose Skechers? Why didn't you just get out your own line of Jordans?" And he was yes. like, "I wanted to do what no one else was doing, and Skechers was out here, and I was like, I'm gonna do a thing with Skechers." And I was like, "Go Snoop Dogg." And you know, it's so funny. Well, I travel a lot, and so whenever I travel, I always go into a Skechers store. I always buy Skechers because I love to travel in Skechers. It's so comfortable, yeah. especially when you're walking through airports and standing in those long lines at Miami International.
Yes.
I find Skechers get me through it very well. So for me, I love Skechers. But I was it in addition to that, I think one of the things that really stands out for me is just the overall comfort and look of yes. them. And then yes. you can
comfort do them. Is king or queen.
Yes.
I'm a mom, and I consider myself a cool mom of three kids. And, you know, it's really, my style has evolved from being like, hey, I want to look cool, to yeah. I want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for us as HR people, comfort is everything. I find as I grew in my HR career, like the what I wore was yes. very different.
Yes.
So I find coming towards the end of my corporate career, and even now in my consulting career, I will wear New Balance to meetings.
Yes.
I will wear Converse. I will, you know, even in, in an L&D setting, I will still wear my Converse, because if I'm walking up and down a room, there's heels, there's no heel. I've never met a pair of heels that made me feel fine to stand in for 4 hours teaching any class. No way.
Absolutely not. There's no inserts. There is nothing that will give you that same feeling of I'm really comfortable so I can focus on the work that I'm doing versus like how my heels are hurting. And New Balance has such a quality to them. They have premium materials that they they continue to lean into that as part of the like New Balance story, right? So definitely.
Yeah. Imagine how this part of our conversation became all about sneakers.
I know. I like to do that to people sometimes.
Just make a little shift. But you know, we bring it back to HR because I really do feel similar about sneakers and experiences and stories is that HR is all about experiences and stories, right?
Yeah.
So how we navigate that space and how we create our own space as HR professionals, I think is really important. So when we talk about experiences, like what's got you really excited about the work you're doing right now and HR in general, what's got you excited?
Yeah, there are so many things. I'm actually happy to say there's a lot of things that are exciting me, empowering me, getting me kind of turned up, you know, for the HR work to do now. So 2020 was really hard. I came up in a small like mom and pop oil and gas. I'm from Houston, Texas, third ward, Houston, Texas. I always like to say my neighborhood, my roots are everything. And so started off with a small mom and pop kind of oil and gas company and then moved into corporate America. Corporate America was a beast for me. I mean, I faced a lot of adversity, you know, versus people not taking me seriously because of how young I looked, or I was wearing sneakers, or, you know, I was a Black woman, or they saw me as a Latina woman, and I'm mixed. So my mother is Black, my dad is Hispanic. And it was like both were kind of working against me in corporate America, which was extremely unfair. Microaggression, all the things, burnout. And so I left corporate America in 2021 because I was just, I was like, the company was great, but my leader was really toxic. And so And I felt like there were elements of the company that were being performative. And this was post, you know, George Floyd, which from Houston, that hit me pretty hard. And so that created a new spark in me, kind of a new fire of, you know, I really want to lean into authenticity. I want to help Black and Brown kids also do the same. You know, really rooted in community work and service. So my creativity is what's motivating and exciting me right now, because my creative projects in HR, whether it's, hey, let's sit at the intersection of HR and marketing. What does that look like? And I like to use somewhat pop culture, but more like the Black experience to bring that out and like resonate with people, especially creatives, because being from Houston, it's a cultural melting pot of a lot of creatives, entrepreneurs, nine to five or side hustlers doing that. So that's motivating me. My core values continue to motivate me. So growth mindset, being of service, building communities. I think that we can find some joy in our HR work by being creative. And creativity is going to build better connections. It's going to build better careers. It's going to build a better pipeline for the Gen Zs that are going to outnumber the boomers, right? So I think though, like finding some passion and purpose in those things is really motivating. And HR can be lonely. So found an amazing HR community that helps me feel like seen, but also that I don't need to fit in. I can stand out. And that is just as amazing. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's amazing. I love how you talked about experimenting with HR, because I think that that's so important for us as HR professionals. HR has evolved so much from the standard, you know, we hire people, We navigate them through the organization and we help them up or we help them through or we help them out.
Yes.
But the journeys are different. Gone are the days where we would do all of that in a silo. Now we get to cross-collaborate with finance and IT and communications and marketing, mm-hmm. and really understand how, when all of us work together, how we can create great workplaces together. And I love that you are taking the time to understand or explore the possibilities. But I also love your individuality as I hear you speak. As I see your content on LinkedIn, I see you there sharing things that just make people pause and think a little bit differently about how we do navigate the HR landscape in our workplaces. But I also, there's a part of me that feels heartbroken for you and many other HR professionals who have been in that space of feeling less than, either because of what you look like, where you come from, because I just feel that that's just so awful for anyone to have to go through. But we see a lot of it, hear a lot of it happening in corporate America, and HR is not shielded from that either, right? It happens to us wherever we are, wherever we sit in our professions. As you were talking, it made me remember, I don't know if you know Minda Hartz.
Oh, yes. I love her books.
Right Within. Right. I thought of something that she said in Right Within when you were speaking. And I again, just recognizing that if we are not of a certain color, of a certain race, we do butt a lot of challenges in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we are in the world. I mean, I live in the Caribbean, and even though we are predominantly all the same color, we still have our own challenges, right? How men feel about women and how they feel about women in certain leadership positions, how they feel about HR in general, how people feel about HR and the work that we do and how it matters, why it matters. And people want to tell us how to HR. It's it's crazy, right?
So I think there's so many layers to the things that we deal with. And you mentioned like men thinking about how women lead, or even in one thing that I've had to confront head on, especially being a mixed, you know, like Black woman. And I still really identify because I grew up in a Black household in a Black church. Like I just identify that way is, you know, colorism and like understanding that I have a little bit of privilege that I need to help others and just amplify their voices because of that element of prejudice and oppression and racism. Mm-hmm. So I think there's always something for us to learn, you know, through some of that adversity and be more like leaning into some disruptive compassion amongst like what we're all going through, especially in HR.
Oh yeah. And there's a lot happening in HR right now that has a lot of us sitting on the edge of our seats going like, what is going on here? But then there's a lot of stuff that's happening that's just like, I'm so glad I'm here. Mm-hmm. I really want to see this through. You spoke about being in an organization at a point where you liked the organization, but you had a toxic leader. How did that whole experience feel for you? Because I know one of the things I hear a lot of HR people struggling with is that they, you know, they love the work that they're doing with the employees, but when you have a toxic leadership that just won't change, it can be really hard to make a decision to leave an organization that you actually like.
Yes.
How was that for you?
It was very draining. It was exhausting. You know, as women and women of color, we want to be resilient and we want to be strong, but that's tiring too. You know, so I feel like, and I had mentors and people within the organization. It was a huge publicly traded $1 billion company. So very large, you know, in scale, but I had created great, meaningful work relationships with people that I could, you know, kind of vent to and support. And they were in support, obviously, but My leader wasn't changing at the time. And so I tried to find some remedy in that by going to other organizations within the organization. So let me see if I can move to a different area.
Right.
And this is, you know, post 2020. So they were trying to set up DEI efforts. This is a 100-year-old company though.
Yeah.
Like, so you're kind of like, And so I tried to move into that space. It didn't really happen because it was so new that they were, it was just taking a while.
Yeah.
And I had to make the hard decision that like my mental health matters, you know, my physical health matters. And so I'm going to have to move on. And in the sneaker industry, I had also made really meaningful relationships and getting the opportunity to work at a Black-owned startup and build from scratch was just very enticing. And it was kind of the next thing on my, you know, career list, you know, career bucket list. And so I, you know, told them I was leaving. They actually tried to keep me a couple times. Even after the fact, they came back and that leader was no longer there. So they were like, hey, and I was like, no, back? I need to see through what I started here. I'm probably loyal to a fault, but I really wanted to create change, impactful change, and help people with radical rest, like understanding well-being is something that they need, and unlearning and relearning is probably the hardest part because you're bringing corporate trauma and baggage along the way. But we get to create a new world of HR at the company that I work for called TradeBlock. So that is really motivating.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
It's so important to recognize that when you carry trauma from one organization into another, there are certain things you need to do so that you don't pass on that trauma to people who didn't deserve it.
Yes.
Because here they are giving you a chance to do something amazing. And I'm glad that you were able to see past that and recognize that there were things you had to unlearn and relearn for yourself in order to be your best self in that in TradeBlock. They're very lucky to have you, Cassidy.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot to hear that out loud.
Oh, you're welcome. I am super proud of you. So please continue doing all the great stuff that you're doing at TradeBlock and beyond. What advice would you have for any HR professional who is out there right now, who probably is sitting in an organization with a toxic leader looking or thinking about feeling stuck and, you know, not being able to make that move? What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, if you know, there is, I get to be myself. I don't have to code switch. I can take off my mask. But that comes with the privilege of working with people that look like me. You know, the representation matters. And I understand that that doesn't happen in that way for everybody. And so if you are in an organization that is maybe toxic, maybe harmful, maybe doesn't align with your values, there's a few things that you can do to just help in the meantime of maybe finding that next place that is for you. So I would say, number one, you want to find a community. You want to find a support system. And when I say a support system, not people that are just like, yes, yes, yes to everything, but they're there to listen. They're active listeners. They're vulnerable. They're honest with you. And they challenge you. They challenge you to grow. So, and they're there when times are just really hard. So that, that community may look different for everybody, but I'm currently in a community called Safe Space, founded by my friend Hiba Youssef. And, it's amazing. It's everyone is very honest in there. And so you leave every day feeling like, okay, this is not just happening to me.
Yeah.
You know, and there's opportunities where I can say, if you're in Safe Space, I'm like, hey, Julie, can we just have a coffee chat? Like, I just need to talk to someone. And it could be from a total different walk of life. Like, it's very inclusive in that way. So find your community. Find what makes you feel creative. I really think there's connections with creativity and joy. And sometimes creativity feels like a mystery. It feels like you need to play an instrument or sing or paint. And just solving problems in HR is creative. So think about what makes you feel joy as it relates to creativity. Is it writing? Is it journaling? I love meditation. And I was very anti-meditation before 2020. So definitely had to learn to sit still with myself because those voices weren't very nice, you know, before I learned how to like actually sit with myself. So part of that healing journey. I mean, sometimes you may need professional help, to be honest, you know, and a therapist, definitely a big advocate for therapy. But, and I always tell people if they want to connect and talk, you know, I'm not trying to monetize necessarily what I'm doing right now and helping people. I just want to pour back into the community in the way that I needed it back then.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I gotta say, I absolutely love Hiba Yusuf.
Yes.
And I really do love the work that she is doing as well. I think Safe Space is an awesome space. I've been meaning to join. I really do need to get there. But I really, in the meantime, I'm loving the work that she's doing. And I hate it here for sure.
Yes.
So
yes, it definitely inspired me to just start being myself and writing in NHR as myself, and getting those ideas out of my head, you know, getting that imposter syndrome as like, this is just a construct that has been built to keep us, you know, keep us down. And you know, that's not our voice needs to be heard. Just like this podcast is beautiful in the sense that it amplifies voices that maybe don't get the big platforms, you know?
And that's exactly why I'm here. That is, you know, when I created this podcast 4 years ago, heading into 5 years now, I started this podcast in my closet, in my room. And then it just, my plan was 10 episodes.
Oh, wow. Like,
10 episodes and I'll be done. At least it's out there in the world.
Yes.
And now I'm almost 150 episodes in, 5 years later. So many great conversations, so many beautiful HR people, and just being able to create a space for people like us who may not be on Big Sherm stages or CIP stages or global stages everywhere, but that have something really important to say about what we love about it, what we're excited about, but then who we are and the things we love, including sneakers.
Absolutely.
So just to be able to have those conversations, I think is so important. Thank you for sharing those tips, though, because I think it's so important for people to recognize that they're not alone and that there are spaces for you to join. And the safe space, if you don't know where that is, I will include it in the comments so that people will be able to go check out the safe space. But I love the creativity piece of it as well.
Yes.
Sometimes
I feel stuck, you know, when I'm like, and I think everybody gets in that
absolutely.
Way. So I just, when I feel stuck, you know, I center back into my why as kind of one, you know, thing in my toolkit, but I also just do things I like to do. So go to a movie, read a book, you know, just go on a walk, just be with my family or be with my kids and cook something, like just things that I like. And that kind of gets you unstuck, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It doesn't make any sense sitting in that space. And I feel like it's so important. So many times we get in our own way.
Yes.
And sometimes we just have to get out of our own way and just do something, you know, whatever it is that we enjoy or that we're tuned into. I think like you, when I started my mindfulness journey, I wasn't into, I was like, what is that kumbaya? What is that? Am I going to sit in a circle and chant all day? No. And now I cannot think of a time in my life where mindfulness has not helped me get through something.
Yes.
You know? Just be sitting still. Sometimes in the quiet, the answer comes. And I remember hearing Oprah saying that many years, you know, sometimes you just have to sit in the silence of it all. And you'd be surprised how many things come from just sitting in silence. And I also saw recently, I think on Instagram, I keep seeing these videos with these people who sit in the dark for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that seems interesting, but I'd have to be like away from my family to sit in the dark for 3 days.
Yes. But my kids will find me. Kids will find me where I'm at.
Yeah. No, you'd have to be away. But it made me think maybe we could do a silence retreat for HR.
That would be really, I think people would find it like reinvention. And reinvention, what I've learned my 20s, my 30s, and now I just turned 40 last year, about to turn 41. is reinvention is essential. Like, it's not something to be scared of. Like you said, embracing your individuality, and coming into this new waves of really like the revolution of work, as my friend Anessa Fike says, you know, there's a lot of reinvention that is going to happen naturally. You know, so in that silence, I also heard a quote that from Church that was, you know, there's development in the disruption. And so from there, I started to think like, I need to sit in this for a little bit. I don't need to stay here.
No,
but I need to sit in
this for a little bit and process it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it also made me understand why my grandmother sat in quiet, dark rooms. I was like, I get it now. I get it now, grandma.
Yeah. I find that happened to me a couple years back. I was having some trouble with my knees, and I remember going back and thinking, so now I know why my grandmother used to wear those stockings up to her knees, or why she leaned over the sink, because her back hurt her, because her knees were hurting her, because I have the same, she had osteoarthritis, and I also have osteoarthritis now. And so just going back and like reflecting on things your grandmother did back in the day, you go, oh, that's why she did it. That's why she did it. And the same thing with my mom, because my mom gets very quiet sometimes. Like when it gets too noisy, my mom gets quiet. She doesn't go tone it down. She tunes out herself. And I'm as a mother, I'm realizing, that's why she did it. And I've learned the art of just keeping silent. Even when the house is full of noise, I stay silent. And then the house just changes. Because I kept silent. Like, I'm not, will you shut up? Stop talking. Put that down. Like, I just get quiet. And when my kids realize, they go, mom's quiet. Something's wrong. Or like, mom's quiet. We should be quiet.
Yes. Kids pay attention. And so I've as a parent, I've definitely evolved from like my son who looks like my brother to like my youngest who's 9 right now. My son is 22. So we have a wide range. We have he's right on the cusp of literally being a millennial. So then Gen Z, and then my little baby she's a Gen Alpha. Right. And so she's very mindful though. Like she understands what meditation is, she understands what breathing is. She's also in that category of like neurodiverse. So she has dyslexia. And so we've taught her through when the dyslexia is really hard or she's feeling extra challenged and it turns into anxiety, how to give her some of those mindfulness practices so she can regulate her breathing and calm down. And I feel blessed that I'm able to even give that to her as a parent, because a lot of us didn't get those things.
It's true. So I could talk to you all day, but you know, we gotta keep going, but this is such a great conversation. But tell us what you're reading, watching, listening to right now that you think our audience would appreciate.
Yes. So reading, watching, listening to. So book, and I'm always reading, watching, listening to something. So books, I am reading Born to Create by Anne Jacoby. It is so good. And all of my passion and feelings about creativity being the secret sauce to kind of the next revolution of work. It's a book about it. Literally. And so I was like, this is perfect timing. This is very universe. Thank you. So I'm reading that book, Born to Create. I'm also reading The Revolution of Work, of the Patriarchy and the Workplace It Built by Anessa Fike. Yes. So a rally cry to dismantle everything that we know, the status quo, and how we can play an active role in that. So I love that it's very direct. It tells you like it is. It's very Anessa, and she is amazing. She's amazing. Yeah. So those are the two books that I'm really reading right now. Podcasts, obviously yours.
Thank you.
But the I Hate It Here podcast as well, Hiba's podcast. And the other thing that I'm listening to, which may throw people off a little bit, is Total Meditation by Lil Jon, the rapper. Oh.
Really? So
I'm actually going to write about it on LinkedIn, but he dropped a meditation album.
Wow.
And it is amazing. Like, it is
this great. Like Andre 3000's?
Yes. It's like that crossover. Uh-huh. Yeah. But Little John does a great job of saying, like, here's where I was at, but here's how I've come to this point in my wellness journey. And like, mm-hmm. and the funny part of it, he was turning me up in my 20s and now he's turning me down in my 40s. So I love that. I've always been a super fan of the Crump era and all of his music. So I've been listening to it and it's really good, actually. It's really good. Lots of sound bath kind of music. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, thank you for sharing those. And I'll include the links in the comments as well. The big question, Cassidy, to close us out. What is the biggest misconception about HR that really bothers you that you want to set the record straight on right here, right now?
Yes, there's a lot that you've probably heard before. I would say building up from this conversation is that there's two things. There's two parts of it. One, that HR can't be creative.
Right.
HR can definitely be creative.
Absolutely.
And we can find new ways and reinvention in the work that we do.
Yes.
The last one is really, we're not passive participants in business strategy, we are active engineers of it. So take that one with you.
Oh, I love both of those. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love both of those because I always believe, and I refer to us as not just HR professionals, but I always say we are people experience architects.
Yes, I love that so much.
In that space, we are able to be creative to create better experiences or to architect experiences for the organization. Architects in themselves are creative. They create some of the most beautiful buildings that we see around the world and structures that we see around the world. And I'm very fascinated with architecture. And I'm also very fascinated with, I never saw myself as a photographer, but I just know that when I see certain things and I capture it through my phone or a camera, how fulfilling I feel when I've captured that particular the essence of that moment. And I feel the same way about HR, because every organization is not cookie cutter. You can take some of the things that you have developed from other organizations and try to articulate them in another way in another organization, but nothing is ever a copy and paste.
Right.
You have to know your organization, your industry, the people you're working with to then architect those experiences. But I do love how both of those things that you said blend together, because I think it's so important that people recognize we are not. This generation of HR, this evolution of HR is not passive at all.
Right.
This evolution of HR is very scientific, very creative, very innovative. It's beautiful. I'm here for all of it.
Yes. I love the connection you made with the moment, the moment that matters in a picture. Cause I also love, I love street photography where it's just like in the moment of something.
Yes.
And there's so much beauty in the simplicity of just being a human being versus a human doing.
Yes.
That like we need to find those moments that matter. And we can do that by architecting, you know, the people experience or the employee experience. So that is a beautiful connection. Yes.
Yeah. This is such a great conversation, Cassidy. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
It was an absolute pleasure, my dear. Please tell our audience, those who are listening, where they can find you on social media if they want to learn more about you, or if they just want to pick your brain, where can they find you?
Oh, yes. You can definitely find me in the LinkedIn streets, Cassidy Edwards, Cassidy Edwards, working at TradeBlock. If you find me on LinkedIn and then on Instagram, which has way more sneaker content, sneakers and style and stuff like that, I am Cassidy on the Gram at Instagram.
Okay. No problem. I'll be following you just now. I'm going to go there. Thanks again for being here. And I wish you all the best as you continue to do great things. I will continue watching you on these LinkedIn streets and cheering you on, but I'm looking forward to an opportunity where we actually get to meet face to face someday.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much. I am so grateful for this opportunity.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of HR Sound Off. I hope that you found it useful. You can find this and all of the episodes of HR Sound Off on all major podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, you name it, we're there. Remember, HR Sound Off is created by HR professionals for HR professionals. If you would like to share your story, then reach out to us and let us know. Make sure to hit the notification bell and subscribe to HR Sound Off on YouTube as well as Podbean. And we'll see you again when we next sound off.